You are listening to BensTorah.com.
A very, very popular tefillah that we recite every day in our Nusach Tefillahs in the morning, and that is the tefillah of Oz Yashir, which was one of the first major shirim that Klal Yisrael sang upon their Yitzias Mitzrayim. It was quite obviously composed by Ruach HaKodesh. It is a very, very powerful tefillah. And in fact, I read in some Sfarim that even though we have the Oz Yashir contained in our Siddur towards the end of Psukei Dezimra, the Rambam felt that Oz Yashir is so important, it shouldn't be contained in the Psukei Dezimra, but it should be contained as a preface after Yishtabach, as a tefillah that's recited before we recite Birchas Kriya Shema and the Shema Yisrael itself. So this is a very, very powerful tefillah. But what I want to deal with today is not just the tefillah, but in actuality, something that's quite unusual, something that's quite special that we have to analyze and understand and realize the contemporary ramifications as well. We know that Pesach has 7 days on a Daraisa level and has a Kedushas Yom Tov when it comes to Issa Malacha on the first day of Pesach on a Daraisa level, Issa Malacha on the seventh day on a Daraisa level when it comes to the end of Pesach. This is a Yom Tov Daraisa, one of the Shlosh Regalim. And the fact of the matter is this Kedushas Hayom of the seventh day was established by the Rabbeinu Shalom even before Yetzias Mitzrayim, even though when it came to Yetzias Mitzrayim, Pesach was only a one-day Yom Tov. But for future reference, Pesach L'Doros, Hashem already wanted us to know that Pesach, unlike the one from Yetzias Mitzrayim, is going to be a seven-day Yom Tov, starting with a Yom Tov, ending with Yom Tov, and having Chol HaMoed in between these two specific end dates. So we have to understand what the Kedushas Yom Tov of Shvi Shel Pesach is all about. One of the interesting phenomenon, however, we have is that if in fact it is a Yom Tov, all the other Yom Tovim usually recite full Hallel on the Yom Tovim of Shuas and Sukkis. For some reason, full Hallel is only recited in the beginning of Pesach. It's not recited on Shvi Shel Pesach. The question is why? It's a full of Yom Tov, has its own carbon, has the din of a moyet, has concepts of Issa Malacha. You have to understand why Hallel is not recited towards the last day of Pesach. Number two, what is the reason that we had the Kriyas Yom Suf take place on the seventh day? And Bechlal, what was the purpose of Kriyas Yom Suf? I mean, I spent time in the early Shurim last week and earlier talking about the fact that the Yud Makos, the Ten Makos we had in Mitzrayim, had major theological, spiritual significance. They taught us the existence of Hashem. They taught us the Hashgacha Pratis, the divine providence of God. They taught us ultimately the omnipotence, the Yecholas Hashem. Nothing can stop the Rabbeinu Shalom. He's the control of all of natural law. So the major munis and deis on our hashkafa for our understanding who Hashem is and what Hashem stands for and what Hashem's capacities are, we already learned for a year's time, as the Egyptians in the world did during the Makas Mitzrayim, all these yesodos. What was the need by Kriyas Yom Suf to have another group of miracles take place? In fact, in the Haggadah, Chazal tells us, according to the Tanoim, there were more Oisos and Mosim taking place in the Kriyas Yom Suf than the Oisos and Mosim that took place at the time of the Esser HaMakos. What was the need and necessity to have Kriyas Yom Suf to be so dramatic, as I'm going to explain today, educating the world about Hashem's existence and His divine providence and His omnipotence? Already has been proven. What did Kriyas Yom Suf accomplish to add to the Emunah and Beit Halchem we're supposed to have in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, after thinking about all of these specific questions, Chazal tell us that there is a major purpose for Kriyas Yam Suf and its miracles, in contradistinction to what happened in Mitzrayim with the Yeser Makis. According to the Brisker Rav and the other Gedolim I quoted in last week's shir, I mentioned that the Makas, which were stretched over a year's time, had first educational, theological purposes to teach the world who Hashem is, as I just mentioned. But also, it was a zman of punishment to the Egyptian Empire on a certain level. And the Makos themselves administered Makos to the Egyptians in their person, to their possessions. Also, the deities of Egypt, one by one, were destroyed through the Makos, up until including the end of the Makos by Makos Becharos. So we see that happening. And the fact of the matter is, even Paro admitted on the night of Makos Becharos that up until now, Klal Yisrael were Avdei Paro. From this point on, they're Avdei Hashem. They're now under Hashem's exclusive domain. I have nothing more to do with them. So the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the actual redemption of the Jewish people, was being fulfilled at that specific moment in time. What was there for the purpose of the concept of Kriyas Yam Suf? What was that still needed? So I want to share with you today many different yesodos that Chazal derived from the episode of Kriyas Yam Suf. Some are very fascinating, some are quite interesting, some are very miraculous, but you're going to see very shortly how powerful this Azyasha is and how the miracles of Kriyas Yam Suf had a specific purpose and had an impact on everybody in the world. And you'll see what I mean by that very, very shortly. But the Rabbanu Shalom in the Torah itself, when we had the Bris Bein HaBesorim took place, the Rabbanu Shalom already said, is one of the statements he made to Avraham Avinu. He says, Yedoa teda ki yezarach eretz lo lahem, that I want you to know that Klal Yisrael are going to go into a foreign land in the future, and those Goyim of that Goyish land, who are not identified here yet, Avadom will make them servants, Inosam they will oppress them. And however, I want you to know, despite what they tried to do to the Jews, Gamis Agoya Sheyavodu Donanochi, this specific nation that gives them this unfortunately pressurized Avoda and persecutes them, Donanochi, they're going to get a divine judgment placed against them. Well, then will leave with tremendous financial substance and dignity upon their exit from Egypt. What Chazal point out that the Rabbanu Shalom was referring to over here is based upon something that's mentioned in the very beginning of Sefer Shemos. There's a pasuk that tells us that Paro called his three major counselors together. And the Torah uses the expression of Ha'abav and Ischachma, though we have to figure out how to deal with these Jews, how to deal with the Jewish problem. And in this meeting, there were three major counselors. There was Bilam, there was Eiv, and there was Yisro. And what Paro tried to tell them was, he's concerned about the power of the Jews, their influence. And perhaps since they're growing so quickly, they might be so powerful, they might take the kingdom of Egypt away from us. The normal ways that people try to generate anti-Semitism against people living in their country, to get the citizens of the country to join with the leadership to destroy and get rid of the Jewish people. The Ramban says, Paro wanted to get the counselors and the people to feel that we have to commit genocide against the Jews. We got to eradicate them. The Kleser Chodav Do'omim Aleinu L'Chalo Seinu. But he realized, the Ramban says, that he could not make such a gezeira because the Egyptians still had memories of what Yosef did for them, what Yaakov did for them during their sojourn in Egypt. There was still a feeling of favoritism towards the Jews, the Hakaras HaTov. So he could not make an open gezeira of genocide against the Jews, even if he wanted to. So he figured out another plan. Let's quietly get rid of the male Jews of the Jewish people, have the midwives destroy the baby boys at the time of birth, and slowly but surely there'll be no men born into Klal Yisrael. The Jewish women will have to marry the Egyptian men, and we'll eradicate the Jewish nation one way or another by this form of quiet genocide. When this plan was produced by Paro, Bilam gave a total endorsement. Iyav, Chazal tell us, kept quiet. Unfortunately, when you're quiet, shtika kador, as if you're giving quiet acquiescence. The only one who was very upset with the plan was Yisro. He screamed and yelled and said, I'm not going to participate in this. I'm surely not going to give my approbation for such a thing being done. He rebelled against what Paro and the others wanted to do. And he picked himself up and ran out of Egypt and never ever returned. Totally disassociated himself and was literally protesting the idea of committing genocide against the Jewish people. Chazal tell us that if that's the case, the major chet of the Egyptian Empire was the fact that they wanted to use Avdus and Inui ultimately to commit genocide against the Jewish people. And the medium with which they wanted to use to eradicate us was the medium of water. We'll throw the Jewish boys into the Yam as soon as they're born, we'll get rid of them, we'll drown them. And he used the medium of water, and he was using the medium of water as a way of killing off the menfolk who were being born into the Jewish people, to therefore cause the Jewish people to stop having patrilineal descent, yichus of avos, and ultimately assimilating and acculturating the womenfolk and everybody else into the Egyptian Empire. We have a principle, and that principle is when Hashem executes punishment for sins that private people do, and especially what countries do, Hashem pays them back mida keneged mida. You try to do something, and I'll pay you back and reciprocate whatever you try to do to destroy somebody else, in this case, Klal Yisrael, you will be paid back by being destroyed the same exact way. And for this reason, even though all the makos of Mitzrayim prove theologically all the divine qualities and powers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and even though a great deal of the Egyptian economic society was destroyed because of the makos, many people died because of the makos as well, but at the end of the day, the ultimate promise of Hashem, Shadon Anochi, that I will punish this empire that's going to persecute and prosecute and commit genocide against the Jews, that I'm going to punish them, the din of Mida Keneged Mida had not been fulfilled yet. Where was it fulfilled? It was fulfilled by Kriyas Yamsuf. Because Chazal tells us, if you look at Kriyas Yamsuf, it wasn't merely just the salvation of the Jews that took place by the miracles I'll be discussing very shortly. But one of the major purposes of Kriyas Yam Suf was to draw Paro and the entire Egyptian super army, the most powerful army in the world at that time, into the Yam to pursue the Jews on the dry land that was developed there, where the Jews in their millions walking on this dry land from one side of the Yam Suf to the next. The Egyptian Empire then ran in afterwards to try to capture them and to slay them and to destroy them, as the Psukim describe in Ozyashir. And as soon as the Jews were safely on the other side of the shore, the Rabbeinu Shalom took the miracle of Kriyas Yam Suf away. The waters crashed down on the entire Egyptian Empire, destroyed all the members of the army, destroyed their chariots, destroyed their war machine, and therefore the concept of Mida Keneged Mida was fulfilled, of Hashem's din against the Egyptian Empire. You tried to destroy us through water, you're being destroyed now through water. So the first major purpose of Kriyas Yam Suf was therefore the din of Mida Keneged Mida, Adon Anochi, that the Rabbeinu Shem wanted to teach the Egyptians, Yesh Din V'Yesh Dayan. There's accountability for trying to do these things against the Jewish people. Bris Ben Abbasan promised repercussions, Don Anochi, and Kriyas Yam Suf was the fulfillment of that specific promise. What's interesting to note, and Chazal point this out, is that in Parshas Yisro, which we'll be reading quite obviously very shortly next week, when Yisrael came to meet Klal Yisrael after all the miracles that they had underwent so far, the Torah tells us that Moshe related to his father-in-law, to Yisrael, all that Hashem did, the Hatzalah he performed for Klal Yisrael. And what's interesting is what Yisro said to Moshe Rabbeinu to Klal Yisrael. For Yomer Yisro, Baruch Hashem, Asher Hitzel Eschem Yad Mitzrayim Yad Paro. He blessed the name of God, that God saved the Jewish people from the hands of Egypt, from the hands of Paro. Asher Hitzel Eschem Itachas Yad Mitzrayim. And then Yisro said the following statement, which has major significance. I now know from what you told me, Moshe Rabbeinu, and the events you described to me, God is the greatest divine essence in this world, because what they wanted to do happened to them. And the Targum Unkelus on this spot is very, very instructive. But the Targum Unkelus says, in the judgment of destruction that the Egyptian Empire wanted to destroy the Jews with water of the Yam Suf, they were only punished by Hashem of being destroyed by those waters instead, Mida Keneged Mida. How did Yisro know this? As I mentioned before, when Paro called the meeting the beginning of Sefer Shemos, and he described the plan of throwing the firstborn boys into the Yam to destroy them, and he rebelled, screamed and yelled, protested and left, he knew therefore with certainty exactly what the machshava was of Paro and the Mitzrayim to destroy the Jews with water. All of a sudden what he sees now is a concept of Mida Keneged Mida, God quite obviously acting with a Mida Keneged Mida, and basically saying very simply that what I'm going to do over here is I'm going to fulfill my promise in the Bris Bein Abasarim to punish them with the same type of activities that they in turn wanted to ultimately punish my people. And therefore, based upon this specific concept, he saw the concept of the Hashgacha Pratis of Hashem, and this Yisrael, his whole life has been searching for the real God of the universe. He worshipped Chazal, say all types of idolatries. He found them worthless, totally lifeless, no value to them. But when he saw the God of Israel with life and vigor, and with knowledge and divine providence and omnipotence, and punishing Midah Kenegah Midah, he says, now I know the only God that exists is the God of Israel. And therefore, as a result of that specific phenomenon, that the God that exists is the God of Israel, he's the real God, that I now know, as far as I'm concerned, Ki Gadol Hashem Mikol Elohim, he is the real God in the universe. The Davash Azadu Aleihem, he converted to Judaism. This was Garem Yisrael, that he shmegayer and become a Jew based upon the Hashgacha Pratis he saw in this Midah Keneged Midah that was taking place at this specific point in time. So the theological ramifications of what took place in the Kriyas Yamsuf, in reaction to what Paro and the Mitzrayim wanted to do, convinced Yisrael to become a full-fledged Jew, which he did as a result of these historical facts taking place in front of his eyes, etc., etc. So we therefore see that there was a concept of Midah Keneged Midah that had to be done over here to fulfill Don Anochi, and how powerful that Midah Keneged Midah was. Chazal point out that besides this Midas Hadin of being punished for what they tried to do, something else quite interesting also happened in Shemayim, which is mentioned by Chazal and the Gemara in Sanhedrin and other places as well. And that is, the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that the Malachim in Shemayim, who sing Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu continuously, they always praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu as part of their Avodas Hashem, when they saw what was happening over here at the Yam Suf, that the Rabbanu Shafali was punishing the Mitzrayim of Midah, Keneged Midah, by drowning them, so it tells us that the Malachim had another idea. Based upon the pasuk that says in Parshas B'Shalach, L'karev zel zer kol halayla, that pasuk alludes to the fact that the Malachi Ashares, the night before the Kriyas Yamsuf, where the Egyptians were drowned, had an idea of killing the Egyptian army in a different way entirely. They wanted to sing a special Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which would have instantly killed the entire Egyptian army without the actual drowning take place itself. Hashem said to the Malachim the following critique. Mas yadai tovim biyam. My creatures are drowning in the sea. The Egyptians are human beings. They're created with Atzelem Elohim. They're drowning. And you want to sing Shir in front of me? Now, what was Hashem criticizing the Malachim about? So Chazal tell us that in Jewish history, there are times that the Rabbanu Shalom gave the Malachim the job to destroy Goyish armies that were out to destroy the Jewish people. One of the famous stories is contained in Tanakh and in Divrei Hayomim, which we just finished in the Siyum of the Tanakh. And in Perek Lamed Beis, in Divrei Hayomim, Chelek Beis, it tells us a story about Sancheriv, Melech Asher, wanting to come and capture Yerushalayim. This was during the Tekufa of the famous Melech Tzadik Chizkiah HaMelech. And he brought with himself an army of 180,000 soldiers, which he was going to use to conquer Yerushalayim and get rid of the Jewish people. What happened to that army? miraculously, on the night before his desire to have this war take place, Malachim came, and within a very short period of time, the 180,000 soldiers were killed. And the next day, they were found dead all over the encampment. And Chazal tell us, how were these 180,000 soldiers killed in their sleep? The Malachim started to sing a Shira to Hashem. And when the human beings below, the members of this Amelech Asher's army, heard the song of the Malachim, the power of that Nigun, of that song being sung by these specific Malachim, was so powerful, it caused the neshamas of these people to be taken away. They were killed because of the Shira being sung by the Malachim, which was made audible to the ears of all the soldiers of that army, and therefore they were all killed in their sleep simultaneously.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
The Malachim over here said to Hashem, let's do the same thing that we're going to do later on right now to Paro's army. We'll sing the Shira, they'll hear it. Before they even go into the Yam, you'll have all of the Egyptian army dying on the seashore, with 1, 2, 3 hearing the Shira was singing to you. Why do we have to have Kriyas Yamsuf and the drowning in the sea? So the Rabbeinu Shem said to them, as I just quoted this Gemara, he said, Mas yadai tvum b'yam. This Jewish people, how many of them were killed by causing the boys of their mishpachas to be drowned in the Yam Suf because of the desire of genocide of Paro? They killed them by drowning them. You want to therefore kill them by just singing Shira, letting them die that way? That's not a Midah Keneged Midah. They deserve that if they killed my people and committed genocide by drowning, their Midah Keneged Midah, Don Anochi, is that they should also die by drowning. I'm not going to allow you to kill them by singing the Shira, as you're going to do with Chizkiah's army, you're going to do later on with the army that's basically going against Chizkiah by Sancheriv. No, their Shira I can understand. But over here, where with what they did with their genocide, they killed through water, they're going to die through water, it has to be Midah Keneged Midah. So the Malachim were not allowed, therefore, to kill them by Shira. Hashem wanted them to be subject to actual drowning, which is exactly what Hashem did. And we see the repercussions over here. Not only that was a keem of Don Anochi, but it caused Yisro to realize the godless Habar of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and caused them to convert ultimately to Judaism, as Chazal tell us midrashically in various places. So we see so far, Kriyas Yamsif was the ultimate Midah Keneged Midah of Din of HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised in the Bris Bein HaBesarim, a guy she'avadu Don Anochi. So that's one reason we had to have this extra miracle of Kriyas Yamsif, the way it was done, to fulfill that promise of the Bris Bein HaBesarim. That's point number one I want to mention to you. Point number two, which is very interesting, very fascinating, is that Klal Yisrael over here were able to see, Chazal tell us, things that under normal circumstances they hadn't really witnessed personally up until this point in time. And the Torah tells us, yeah, we say this every day in our davening as well, Vayosha Hashem Bayomahu Yisrael Miyad Mitzrayim, Vayah Yisrael Es Mitzrayim Meisha Asfas Hayam, Vayah Yisrael Es Hayod HaGadola Asher Asa Hashem B'Mitzrayim, Vayirom Es Hashem Vayimine B'Hashem U'B'Moshe Avdo. That the Klal Yisrael saw the hand of God, what he did by Kriyas Yamsuf, and their fear, trepidation, reverence, and awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was confirmed at that moment in time. They believed in Hashem, the all-powerfulness of Hashem and all his kochavs. They believed in the powerfulness of his Eved Moshe Rabbeinu, that he was mamish Eved Hashem, fulfilling Hashem's divine wishes, and everything that he did was at the behest of Hashem, and he couldn't accomplish this unless Hashem gave him the kayach to do such. That the emunah bitochen and belief and love of Hashem and trust in Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu was confirmed by the nisim niflaos that took place at Kriyas Yamsuf. It's interesting, in Mitzrayim, Chazal compare the miracles to an etzbalakim, a finger. When it comes to the Yamsuf, here it's called, they see the Yad Hashem, five times more powerful than the miracles that they witnessed in Mitzrayim itself. That's why you have all these Tanaim trying to figure out how many subcategories of Makos they had in Mitzrayim compared to that was in the Kriyas Yamsuf. But the fact of the matter is, the ultimate omnipotence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the miracles that he performed for Kriyas Yamsuf, as I'm going to mention very shortly, the amount of miracles that he performed in not only punishing the Egyptians, but the miracles in creating the Kriyas Yamsuf in a way that I'm going to describe to you, as the Medrash portrays, really brought to the surface the intensity of the miracles of Kriyas Yamsuf. Incredible miracles took place. Incredible nisim niflaos were experienced by the Jewish people at that point in time. And what's interesting and fascinating is that when you look at Midrashi Chazal, what you do find is that in Perek Lamed Gimel, in Ovis de Rab Nosson, where the Ovis talks about the various miracles and that took place in Mitzrayim when it comes to the miracles of the 10 plagues, and then the miracles that took place at the 10 plagues that took place when it comes to the Kriyas Yamsuf, the Medrash tells us that if you look deeply into the Psukim, what you find is that Kriyas Yamsuf wasn't as is portrayed by Hollywood and other people who try to dream up and recreate an event without any knowledge. It wasn't that Hashem split the sea and all of a sudden they were able to walk through 1, 2, 3 and get to the other side. But Kriyas Yamsuf was much more complicated than people realize. The Medrash tells us that Klal Yisrael, before they entered as a whole nation, made certain requests, and the Rabbanu Shlom facilitated their request in the following fashion. Number one, there wasn't just one opening of the Kriyas Yamsuf to let them walk through, but the Rabbanu Shlom made 12 different openings that each and every Shevet of Klal Yisrael would have their own route through the Yamsuf to go from one side to the other side, in order that they have their own exit passage to be safe from the Malchus of Egypt and their army. So there were 12 cuts in the Yamsuf, letting each Shevet go independently from one side to the other side. You don't see that in the Chumash of Torah Shebiksah, but Chazal mentioned this midrashically, and once again, in Perek Lamed Gimel in Avos de Rav Nosson. Number two, Klal Yisrael wanted to make sure that this would be as safe as possible, so the Rabbeinu Shimon fulfilled other requests. Number one, the waters themselves in the 12 pathways were literally solidified as strong as stone. They were see-through. You were able to see 12 different passages as if glass that was as strong as stone was separating the 12 passages from each other. When they went through the Yam, they were able to see the other Shvatim passing through as well, through the glass water that was acting as a stone wall between each one of the 12 paths. This water not only was a glass wall on each side, but there was also a roof of water, a canopy above them, protecting them therefore from all sides. The water above, the water from each and every side, they were rock solid as they went from one side of the Yam to the other side of the Yam. The actual floor of the water of the Yamsuf not only became dry, and there was no water there, so they were able to walk on dry land, but according to the Midrashim of this Medrash, Hashem made it momentarily a fertile area with grass and food and other stuff, food growing from the ground like an oasis. So when they went through that specific area, they were able to grab food for themselves and their children and for their animals as they went through the Kriyas Yamsuf from side to side. Number three, another miracle that took place, the Chazal mentioned, is that they had, besides solid walls of water, if they wanted to drink water as they went through, there were ability for them to have water fountains coming out of the walls in a liquefied form to drink distilled water. Water that was normally salt water became fresh water, clean water. Hashem did a distillation job miraculously, so they were able to drink pure water for themselves and for their children and for their animals as they passed through as well. And these are tremendous miracles. They're being surrounded from all sides, protected from all sides, nourished from all sides. Also, the Banu Shem made it that after they went through a certain part of the Yam Suf, and they were going, you know, further and further. The part they already left, the ground all of a sudden started no longer be grassy, started to become muddy. So that when ultimately, when the chariots of Paro and the army went through, they started sinking in the mud over there. Another miracle, besides the miracle, as they were being saved from the Egyptian army itself. I mean, these are incredible miracles, miracles, besides miracles, showing the Gevuras Hashem when it comes to natural law, to manipulate water on the level that he manipulated the water. Some of the water was as strong as stone, other water was as flowing as natural water and purified from the salt content contained inside, being protected from all sides, from any catapults, anything that the Egyptians would throw upon them, bombs from above, that a canopy above them, walls on each and every side. This was all protecting them and saving them from any type of negative ramifications as the Kriyas Yam Suf took place. And quite obviously, after the Jews went to the other side, all of these waters that had turned as harder rocks, when the Egyptians went through, they crashed down upon them, not as water, but as actual, very, very heavy-duty forms. Yes? Okay. Fine. Okay. So basically speaking, what Chazal tell us is that in actuality, Klal Yisrael themselves were able to see how they were killed by these major water walls and ceilings collapsing upon them, the total destruction of the Egyptian army, miracles that were simply miracles of B'toch miracles, what saved them, destroyed their enemy afterwards. All of this was orchestrated. Moshe Rabbeinu with his staff, at the behest of Hashem, caused things to take place. Klal Yisrael was saved as Hashem promised. And in fact, Hashem had told Moshe when Klal Yisrael started to scream and yell when they saw the Egyptian army pursuing them, Lamatitzek Eli, Hashem Yelochem Lechem V'atem Tachrishon. I'm going to fight the war, Hashem says. You keep quiet, you just go forward, listen to me. And that's exactly what happened. Later on, when you read the stanzas contained in the Az Yashir, when the world heard and witnessed the Kriyas Yam Suf took place, something that didn't just take place in the Egyptian Empire, but something that was apparent in the channel of water that they went through, which was available to be seen by the public at large. In those days, there were no news agencies that were able to project this on the screen to make this known worldwide. But this, since this water miracle was visible from all sides, neighbors, Goyim, who were living from all sides, were able to see these miracles taking place and be able to witness with their own eyes the miracles of Hashem's change of nature for the sake of saving Klal Yisrael. Chazal compared this also later on to the concept of Klaus of going over the Yarden during the time of Yeshua to conquer Eretz Israel, that the waters also stopped for them for Klaus to pass through. The waters reached such physical heights as they piled up as the Jews passed over the Yarden, that all the various Canaanite nations and other countries that were close were able to see the water piled up all the way up into the sky, very, very high. So everybody was witnessing the miracle of a Kriya Sayam as well. This time the Kriya of the Yarden, not the Kriya of the Yamsuf. Hashem was mafarsim these miracles in the eyes of everybody. Nobody should have any doubts of the omnipotence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the actual piyut of the Azarshi, you hear the trepidation, the fear that was felt by the nations of the world. They realized Klai Yisrael were heading in a specific direction. They gave fear and trepidation for the countries that they were passing through to start wars with them. And when it came to Eretz Canaan, they felt they had to protect themselves. All the cities were fortified with walls, thinking that they're not able to be conquered. But slowly but surely, as Rachel Azana told the Meraglim that came to see her before Klai Yisrael crossed over, the trepidation and fear from over 40 years ago that the nations living in Eretz Canaan heard about the destruction of Egypt internally and by the Kriyas Yamsuf, they're still shaking in their boots from that specific tremendous defeat of the anti-Semites of the Jews. And therefore, that's why the Goyim here in Eretz Canaan are living in these major fortresses, cities with walls, to protect themselves from being conquered, because they realize there's tremendous omnipotence and power the Jews have through their God, and therefore they think by making walled cities they're going to prevent themselves from being destroyed. Well, when Yericho fell, after Kleisel walked around a couple of days and blew shofars and the walls collapsed, their hope of being saved by having fortified cities was also nullified in front of their eyes. So we see over here, the miracles were mafasim to the world. And we record that each and every day as we say the Az Yashir. This was an eternal message to the world at large that there's ein chachma tfuna keneged Hashem. There's no way of trying to defeat HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is a Musa Shmuz to the nations of the world today. He forgot that the Jews have been in existence for thousands of years, and he forgot that the world always comes together to try to destroy us. But guess what? Hashem has saved us in the past. How many wars has Klal Yisrael been subject to from 75 years to the present when it comes to the Arab world trying to destroy us? And they still haven't learned their lesson. They still try and try and try, these terrorists seem to have a very bad memory, that every time they tried as nations to destroy us, now as terrorist brands, they forgot we destroyed the greatest armies of the Arab world. The Egyptian army, the Syrian army, all these big armies that tried to attack us. We were still a weak people, didn't even have our own IDF yet. And we still were menatzeach them. Six-day war. I mean, explain that rationally. The concept of what happened in 1948, where the whole Arab world tried to attack us and destroy us and begged us for an armistice 2 years later on. The miracles and the yesedas of what happened at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf seems to have been forgotten by these people. And therefore, we have to remind ourselves and mechazik ourselves that they can think what they want to do. Eile berech ve'eile besusim. They rely upon their armaments, their weapons, their terrorist activities, the rockets and everything. That's going to basically make them be matzliach. But we mention and sing praises to Hashem and pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the whole concept of war is dependent when it comes to Hashem. Pasuk says in Mishlei, Sus mulchan l'yom ha-mulchama. You compare all the horses and chariots and all the weaponry you need for war and get prepared. But your ultimate success, LaHashem Achu, the Pasuk says, the success of Jews in fighting the war against our adversaries is in the hands of the Ribbono Shalom. Hashem Yalachim Lechem, Atem Tachrishon. We got to do the Hishtalis B'Derech HaTeva to make the preparation. They have the armies and the weapons. But the ultimate tshuva is tshuva Hashem keref ayim is HaKadosh Baruch Hu bichvado bi'atzmo. Another facet I want to mention over here, am I finishing off the shiur, which I think is quite fascinating. When Klal Yisrael fights wars, are we happy? Are we excited that we're killing our enemies and destroying them? Is that our attitude? One thing we see when it comes to the attack of Hamas, Yimach Shemam V'Nich Zichram, on October 7th, not only did they want to destroy us, but they enjoy destroying us. The films that they took themselves of singing and laughing and giggling as they literally destroyed people, as they baked children in ovens, as they dismembered bodies, they beheaded people, as they killed women, as they raped women, literally they did terrible, terrible things I don't even want to mention on tape over here. When it comes to what they did it b'simcha gedela. They enjoy destroying human beings. I mean, even animals usually don't destroy their own species, and surely they don't do it b'simcha, and all of a sudden you have these animal human beings, these peradots, b'simcha, b'shira. I mean, one crazy maniac chopped off the head of an Israeli officer and brought it back as a trophy to Gaza, to the innocent Gazians, and he wanted to sell it for $10,000. Who wants to have the trophy of this beheaded soldier's head for $10,000? I mean, what kind of people are this? I mean, this is dealing with barbarians, people that are worse than barbarians. In any event, we surely, as Jews, if we have to defend ourselves and kill our adversaries, it's not in a state of simcha. And the proof of this is mentioned, and this is the last piece of today's shir, by none other than the Meshech Chacham himself in Parshas Bo. He points out that the 7 days of Pesach, which is Pesach L'Darus, was mentioned in Parshas Bo, even though the Pesach of Mitzrayim was actually really only one day. So Hashem mentioned the Yom Tov of 7 days, with 7 days of Yom Tov, as the future way we're going to observe Yom Tov of Pesach, before the events of the historical events of Yetzias Mitzrayim Ki Yisyamsuf, especially that part, didn't even take place yet. The 7th day of Pesach was already declared as a Yom Kadosh, a holy day, Easter and Malacha, Karbans brought, even before the events of Ki Yisyamsuf ever took place. Says the Meshech Chacham Meir Simcha Devintz, why? Because the Rabban Hashem does not want the world to think that we as Jews like to kill human beings, that we like to destroy Tzelem Elokims, that we have pride and joy in literally winning a war and destroying human beings. We like committing genocide. As Rachmana Litzlan, the Shakranim and the Rashayim of the world always accuse us of, that we want to commit genocide, not God forbid the Hamas or anybody else. We're the Rashayim of the world. Lashon Harish and Kamohu. Says the Meshech Chachma, if you look through Jewish history, we have tried to make sure that nobody should ever get that impression about the Jews. And the biggest proof is, when we celebrate holidays where we have a miracle defeating a guy who wanted to destroy us, we never make the holiday on the day of the defeat of the enemy. We always make the holiday on the day after, in order to show we're celebrating not the defeat and destruction of the enemy, but the salvation of the Jewish people. When it comes to Pesach, the Rabban Hashem did not want to have the 7th day declared as a reaction to Kriyas Yamsuf. So the Goyim shouldn't say, the reason the God of the Jews and the Jews made the 7th day of Pesach is to celebrate the destruction of the Egyptian army on that day. That's not why we make Jewish holidays and celebrations. What we celebrate on Pesach from beginning to end is the salvation of Klal Yisrael, the Yetzias Mitzrayim from the Egyptian Empire, the salvation of the Jews on the 7th day. But when it comes to the destruction of the Mitzrayim, that's what happened, because there's no other way. Sometimes when it comes to Russia, you got to kill them to literally prevent them from destroying the whole world around them. And that's why the Meshech Chachma quotes a pasuk in Mishlei. B'nefoil is in Perech Habeis, pasuk Yod Zayin, if you want to look it up. B'nefoil avech al tismach, u'bikoshla yigal u'becha. When your enemies fall, don't be in a state of simcha. When they stumble, do not be happy in your heart. When you're Hashem v'rabim, it won't be happy in God's eyes to see that you're happy in destroying human beings. This is the hashkafa that was imparted to Klal Yisrael. You fight a war to defend yourself because you have no choice. There's a mitzvah of Timcha Zech Amalek, but it's not that we're supposed to rejoice when we have to do Timcha. When it came to the miracles of Chanukah and Purim, we don't celebrate the destruction of the Syrian army, but the miracle of Klal Yisrael being saved spiritually and physically, being able to rededicate the Beis HaMikdash, the miracle of the menorah. When it comes to Purim, we don't celebrate the day of the actual destruction of the Persians who are trying to kill us as Amalekim in the empire, but we celebrate the day afterwards when the war was already over and the Jews were saved. That's what the Yom Tov of Purim is all about. Yom Shenachlu Bo. We don't celebrate the concept of having to fight war and kill human beings. So Chazal say, based upon that specific pshat, there's another Gemara, which I mentioned before, which I want to go back to. And that is the Gemara that deals with the concept of Malachim wanting to sing Shira as it relates, technically speaking, to the actual war itself. What do I mean by this? When the Malachim wanted to sing Shira, they wanted to sing Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for killing the Egyptians. Hashem says, Masadai Tfum B'yam. Human beings are being killed even though they're Rishayim. And you want to sing Shira? We don't sing Shira for killing human beings. We sing Shira for salvation, for being saved. But we don't sing Shira because we're killing human beings. Hashem said to the Malachim, even you can't sing Shira for that purpose, because Masadai Tfum B'yam, they're being killed, they're being punished, they deserve it, Mida can they get Mida, but at the end of the day, I want you to know that technically speaking, we're not happy and thrilled in killing them, but there's no choice because they're a danger to Klal Yisrael, they're a danger to the world, so they're killed because they have to be killed, but at the same time, we don't rejoice because of this. This is the last message I want to therefore mention to you when it comes to this specific topic. We therefore see that Kriyas Yam Suf has tremendous Musa behind it, tremendous Hashkafa. We are praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He should give us the ability and the Kayach and the ability to be Menatzeach on the people who want to destroy us. Hashem will give us that Tzat Shema. He promised it to us. We have to increase our tefillos, our davening, our learning, our tzedakah, to be zeichu for the Yeshuas. This is the Musa Shums we get from Kriyas Yamsuf. Let's hope and pray we'll see the Nitzachon again. We'll sing Shira to Hashem for Hashem's salvation of the Jewish people. And the ultimate Shira HaGadol we'll sing with Bez Mashiach Tzedkenu Amen V'Amen.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.